This is an iHeart podcast.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. It's been an amazing day already. Do not forget, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll riff on walls some more, foreign voters. We're going to talk about why commies are violent. The Harris honeymoon coming to an end. All that and so much more is coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm gonna talk about something more general. We'll get to a specific here in a moment, but something more general. Have you ever, at any point in your life, heard a Democrat or maybe on social media or somewhere saw a Democrat say something to the effect of, "Where's his address? Someone should post this guy's address." You ever seen that? I saw it was a politician. I believe it was in Minnesota. I forget where it was. Just got in trouble for publicly calling for, I think it was Mitch McConnell's address to be published. "Someone should post his address on a billboard." Okay. What is that? Well, that's a threat of violence. That's a desire for violence. Or at least the threat of violence. That's exactly what that is. Why does your liberal Aunt Peggy put that on Facebook? Why she say things like that? Because she wants someone, it won't be her, of course, but someone, one of the animals, someone should show up there and hurt him. Someone should hurt this guy. Remember when, that's a good point, Chris. Remember when Harrison Butker, that kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, gave that wonderful commencement address? And he talked about his wife being a mother and the role of women, and it was really wonderful. Guy got choked up talking about how much he loved his wife. And somebody for the city of Kansas City, who was eventually let go, decided to post publicly where Harrison Butker lived. Why do they do that? Well, because they want someone hurt. They want someone hurt or killed. They want their opponents hurt or killed. This is not a one-off. Anytime anyone ever says something like that, "Post this address," that's somebody who wants someone else murdered or assaulted terribly. Why in the 100-year, depending on how you want to classify the beginning of it, 100-year, 120-year history of communism, why have they murdered over 100 million people? 100 years is not a long time historically at all. It's a blip on the radar. It's nothing. They've murdered over 100 million people in that time. Have you ever read or heard of the book, The Black Book of Communism? It's so popular, it's very hard to find. When I ordered it, and this was some time ago when I ordered it, I think I had to wait a week or two before they could find one in stock. But it's a very, very, very large book about the endless communist atrocities. It's just everywhere this sick religion takes over. People die in droves. It doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter the practicing religion of the country, the demographics, and whether it's the Soviet Union or China or Cambodia or Cuba or wherever these people take power, people die. Violence, death. Why? Well, first, obviously, as you know, they are religious fanatics. They're not political. Your liberal Aunt Peggy isn't a Democrat. She's not a liberal. I say that as kind of like a placeholder. She's not a liberal. She's a dirty communist, and she's a religious fanatic. And just like all other religious fanatics throughout history, I shouldn't say all, that's not fair. Religious fanatics throughout history have been willing to do one of two things: die for what they believe and kill for what they believe. Sometimes it's and or. Sometimes they'll die and kill. If you look at something like the history of Christianity in the very, very beginning, the apostles, things like that. Remember, they all died. For the most part, they all died horrific deaths, horrible stuff, boiled in oil and crucified upside down and freaking awful stuff, terrible stuff. The early church, they were willing to die for Jesus. You get later on, they're willing to kill for Jesus. Hey, we're fighting these barbarians. We have to take on the Saxons. We have to bring Christ to these the hordes. They're willing to kill for it. History of Islam, same thing. Willing to kill for it. And I don't mean to just single out those two. Look, Jews, same thing. You look at right before the Romans, not right before, but before the Romans ran the Jews out of the Holy Land in Israel. One of the main reasons, they kept rising up and killing all the friggin' Romans, fighting huge wars, assassination attempts, willing to kill for what they believe. The communist is a religious fanatic. Those who oppose his religion, they are not Republicans or anti-communists or whatever you call yourself. You're a heretic holding back utopia. Therefore, they're justified. But that's oftentimes not enough for people, right? It's not enough for people. Let's talk about a struggle session as long as we're on this communist violence thing. Have you ever seen one of these or seen one of these acted out even? You can see pictures of this. Mao's Cultural Revolution was famous for this, but he wasn't the only one who did it. Struggle sessions are something that really happened to this day. Remember Drew Brees humiliating himself nationally? He came out and said, hey, I like the flag. Both my grandpas fought in World War II. Go America. And then he was brutalized by the mainstream press and all the left-wingers. And because he is a spineless loser weenie, he then put out some embarrassing public apology video. Hey, I just didn't realize how evil America really was. So I'm going to hide the thing. Oh, good point, Chris. Anthony Bass. Remember that picture, Anthony Bass? Anthony Bass says something on social media just saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't sexualize and abuse children. He feels the heat of a struggle session. Then he puts this out there.
I recognized yesterday I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine. And I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologize with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody.
He was re-educated, you see. But back in China, let's talk more specifically about that, you would be dragged from your home. You could be as simple as a teacher, maybe a Buddhist monk, somebody Mao just disliked, a political rival. You would be dragged from your home and you'd be dragged to the town square and you'd be put up on stage and the town would gather. I don't mean 10 people, thousands would gather. And on stage, you would be humiliated. They would hang signs around your neck. You can go look at pictures of this. They're readily available online. You would oftentimes be tortured brutally. They'd make you walk or crawl across broken glass, just really, really terrible stuff. And oftentimes you would be executed after this, humiliated, tortured, executed. But you weren't humiliated and tortured and executed in front of people who were saying, no, hey, have some mercy. Wait a minute, that's just a science teacher. It was women too. She was so nice. That's Mrs. Wong. I love Mrs. Wong. Hey, that's not what happened. As completely innocent people were being tortured, maimed, executed, the crowd loved it. The crowd cheered and cheered and cheered and demanded more. As lovely old Mrs. Wong was there on stage, having her fingernails pulled out, crying out in agony, this old woman nobody in that crowd had a bad relationship with was being tortured and killed to the sound of cheers from the crowd. That's the why I want to dig into. Setting aside the religious fanaticism of your liberal Aunt Peggy, why is it communists are so violent? Why is it always post his address? Why are they like this? I will explain that why in a moment. Now, speaking of violence, just try to wrap your mind around this, how crappy this is. If you're in Israel right now, you're going about your day. You know, if you're in school, you're going to school, your job, you're going about your day. But you know, at any moment, your life may end or at least be completely upended. This thing with Iran has gotten so serious. The United States of America just a couple hours ago, issued a public warning saying, don't do it. I'm telling you right now, don't do it. That's how close something is to happening. And this is a tiny country the size of New Jersey. They're just marching on, praying the worst doesn't happen. IFCJ, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're out there providing flak jackets, firefighting equipment, armored vehicles, bomb shelters. They're out there doing the work. They can only do this work with our help. They're looking for 500 people to give $150 each. If they find that, they have a donor who's going to match that, doubling it. Call them, 888-488-IFCJ, or go to supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Back to why communists are violent. Beyond the religious fanaticism, communists are violent because they have absolutely mastered pretending as if they're the victims of violence. You pretend as if you're the victim of violence. What it does is it justifies anything you do to the other side. When you're violent in self-defense, well, that's justified, right? I remember, speaking of the post his address thing. Remember when we ran that commie nutball out of that 4th of July parade? Was supposed to be the grand marshal of a 4th of July parade, and I rallied and you rallied and we got that commie nutball bounced out of there. It was within 5 minutes of the beginning of that, the communists began that post Jesse's address all across the internet. But what's his address? Why? Well, let's walk back. Why did they say that? Because the commie nutball we got run out of the 4th of July parade claimed that she received threats. Nobody ever saw a single one of those threats. The news organizations who reached out to her and said, hey, could we see some of the threats? The lady said, sorry, I'm just kind of done with it. I'm traveling. I don't want to talk about it at this time. So the threats are something that didn't exist, but she put out there that she had been threatened. It immediately, the communist nutballs in this country decided in self-defense, they need to be violent back. The communist commits horrific acts of violence by pretending he is the victim of horrific acts of violence. Listen to Dome. Listen to Dome describe Donald Trump. Donald Trump has already been president. He was president for 4 years. He had two attorney generals. I know it's attorneys general. That sounds stupid, so I don't say it. He had two attorney generals, Jeff Sessions, Bill Barr. Neither of them went after Democrats. Bill Barr bragged on camera that he would not go after Democrats. Donald Trump's DOJ didn't track down a bunch of Antifa types, sadly. They didn't even go after Black Lives Matter. They did nothing to attack left-wing activism in this country. Listen to how they describe Donald Trump and what he will do.
That he would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That he would round up peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country.
I know you're sitting there screaming, but that's what they've been doing. And you're right. That's what they've been doing. 3.5 years. School board parents labeled terrorists. 1,500 January 6ers, most of them peaceful and nonviolent, hunted down and thrown in cages by the Cheka. Oh, I'm sorry, the FBI. I misspoke there. The FACE Act prosecutions, 97% of them are pro-life activists. The communists have spent 3.5 years arresting and trying to kill, in some cases succeeding in killing, their political opponents, and they will stand in front of the people with a straight face and say things like
that
this.
That he would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That he would round up peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country.
And listen. Listen to the crowd. Listen to the crowd as Dome speaks and what they say.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Lock him up. Lock him up.
Here's the thing. The courts are going to handle that. We're going to beat them in November. We're going to beat them in November. Okay? We'll beat them in November. We'll handle that.
We'll handle that. An entire sea of demons. Even if you hate Donald Trump, that if you're a Democrat, you hate Donald Trump, he's the Antichrist in your mind. I get all that. How could you stand there and scream, lock him up? You do that because you think it's in self-defense, because you think he's somehow done it to you when nothing could be further from the truth. The communist has spent a century murdering his political opponents in fake self-defense. They pretend as if anything that stops or even slows down their movement is somehow an act of violence, and they pretend it's an act of violence to justify the violence they intend to use on their political opponents. That's why to this day, you can go pull up the Breitbart article that listed 395 incidents of violence against Trump supporters during Trump's first 4 years in office. 395 murders, assaults over and over and over again. And every filthy, dirty, demonic communist who did it thought he was doing it in self-defense for some twisted reason. Just remember, they're violent. It's not what they do. It's who they are. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself. And I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get to the emails and some walls things and things like that, and this story out of the UK and what's happening in the UK is getting bigger and bigger. But before I get to any of that, had to burst the wife's bubble a little bit, I think. My youngest son is one of these real technical types. He loves to touch buttons and take things apart and figure out how things work. He's just kind of one of those kids. And she said to me the other day, I didn't mean to be so mean about it, but she said to me the other day, she said, I think Luke might be a pilot. And I said, baby, he's never going to be a pilot. What are you talking about? He could be a pilot. I said, Princess, he's going to be like 6'6", 6'5". He's not going to fold himself into a cockpit for 30 years. I would love for him to be a pilot, but that whole, you can do anything you want, you can be anything you want to be, that's a lie. When your mom told you that, she was lying to you. No, you can't. There's all kinds of things you can't do. There's all kinds of things I could never do. That's a complete lie. So anyway, that didn't land all that well, but it would be cool to be a pilot. I think it would be a fun job. Don't you think? What, Chris? What are you rolling your eyes? Don't you think it'd be a fun job? You get to wear, why not? You get to wear the uniform. Plus, you can listen to the world famous Jesse Kelly Show on podcast when you're up there and you're supposed to be paying attention to important things. I think it would be great. What, Chris? It's not a road trip, Chris. I know I hate road trips. I hate road trips because of all the other, the traffic is a huge part of it. Do you have any idea how many women drivers you have to deal with on the road? It's not as if you're going to run into a female pilot who won't get out of the left lane. Of course, anymore you might, but you're fine. You're totally fine. It's the traffic. It's the other people. It's not that I hate road trips, Chris. I hate other people. That's totally different. Jesse, you really are a moron, aren't you? Yeah. I mean, that was an email. Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I don't mind. Jesse. Oh, I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the show. I haven't showered today. I feel like everyone should know. It was not my fault. What? Did you smell something, Michael? Could you tell? I think it's okay. It wasn't my fault. I'm a big shower person. I like to shower. I don't like being dirty. You know, it's not my thing. But I had all this stuff come up this morning. I'm almost positive we have mold. And no, let me explain. So you remember we had that hurricane? Why would you remember? Unless you're in Houston, you wouldn't remember. We had a little hurricane. It wasn't even a big one called Beryl a few weeks ago in Houston. Bunch of people lost power. It was really weirdly damaging for a category one, but a bunch of people lost power, and a bunch of my neighbors had their fences blown over and roof, big portions of the roof blown off, and I thought I made it through okay. You ever get little signs of things that you choose to ignore because you don't want to acknowledge there might be a problem, might be a larger problem? You ever have those little things? So, of course, right after the hurricane's over, I'm outside, I'm slogging through the mud, I'm making sure my fences are up, I'm trying to pull the trees back up and get the trees staked out, I'm trying to just do some basic house maintenance, I'm up on the roof, looking at the roof, are we fine? Okay, so I did the work, I looked and I thought, okay, I think we actually made it through this okay. But on our front porch, one of our main lights on the front porch, it goes out. All right. Not the end of the world. The light goes out. Lights go out from time to time. It's not as if I don't know how to change a light bulb. So I grab the ladder, grab a light bulb. I get up there and I pull it down. This is unlike any light fixture I've ever seen. I don't know why I'm telling you this right now. I just felt like it. It's unlike any light fixture I've ever seen. I pull it down and it's not a bulb. It's more of just like a directly wired disc kind of a light. So how did it go out? Well, when I pulled it down, some water came out with it. There was some water in there. But I Look, I just rewired a new one in there. Who am I kidding? I hired someone to do it. I called some guy to rewire it in there. What, Chris, it's not like I couldn't have. I always get worried. I've shocked myself pretty badly a couple times before. Sometimes I don't kill the right breaker, and so when it comes to electrical stuff, I tend to try to hand that out. Anyway, brought a guy out. He replaces the light bulb. We're good to go. And I chose to just move on. I convinced myself, well, maybe a little bit got in there, and it didn't. So the other day, the wife says, hey, Jesse, you need to come here. I go up there, and she's doing yoga or whatever weird thing the hot chicks do when they're laying on the grounds, doing all the great stretching. And she said, come look at this. I said, I am looking. She said, not me, idiot. Look at the... Anyway, so she looks up and points to the ceiling. And there's some dark spots up there. And I've been noticing in the past couple of weeks, we've all kind of got this cough and we're occasionally getting a little bit of a headache. I know we have mold and I'm not really worried about the horrific health implications. It's going to cost a fortune. What, Chris? It's inside, buddy. Chris said, is it inside or outside? And get this, bud. We're going to lose Chris. I want everyone to know this is going to be his last show because he's going to die of a heart attack the second I say this, okay? You know how much it's going to cost to get a mold guy out? No, I'm telling you, Chris. No, you have to find out. $800. $800 to do the testing. I'm not saying to fix it. We're talking to test the materials, to do the air testing. $800. I told the wife, let's just move. Let's just move. So $800 later, I know. I don't know if Chris is going to make it, but yeah. Anyway, Jesse, are we going to see another 2.0 for the Obama black guilt vote from white people to put this communist in office? Well, there was this from Ben Stiller.
And she's also an historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And, you know, she's Indian, she's black, she's everything. You can be more than one thing. It's incredible. You know, I'm Jewish and Irish. I wish I was black. Every white Jewish guy wishes he was black. You know, it's just get out there and vote and donate.
That's so embarrassing. Isn't that embarrassing? And look, hey, that's one guy, and he's one idiot actor saying what he knows he has to say if he ever wants another gig in Hollywood. Don't stress the white guilt vote. This country is laden with white guilt because it has been woven into the education system, the government. It's been woven into Hollywood, this really, really poisonous undercurrent that white people are the bad guys. That's that white people, Europeans, anyone who's white is somehow bad and worse. And anyone who's any other color, black, brown, whatever it is, they're somehow saintly and wonderful. And the white guy is always the bad guy. In the end, I wish I wasn't white. I'm sorry I'm white. There is a really, really bad, poisonous strain of white guilt in this country. Is that going to be enough to make people vote for Dome? I don't know because I don't vote that way. Look, I wouldn't vote for a white guy just because he's white. I wouldn't vote for someone because they're black. I just don't care about that stuff. So I don't want to act like I do. But my sense on it is this, that white guilt vote, I think Barack Obama kind of got that out in people. I think the people who wanted that, who felt that way, I think they got it over with Barack Obama. Look, are the liberal white women going to say they're voting for that reason? Yeah, but remember, liberal white women are despicable communists. They're the most committed communists we have. They were always voting left no matter what anyway, but gosh, imagine as a dude saying this.
And she's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And, you know, she's...
Why is that exciting? I want to know, why is it exciting? Isn't it so weird when you spend enough time assigning value to something that has no value, how then you'll find yourself just speaking as if it does? I want you to think about this. We're actually going to talk about this more in a second. Think about this statement right here, just this statement.
And she's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And
what? Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's discuss where we're at economically. It's really bad. obviously really, really bad. You know the war drums are already beating. You understand how badly the people in power who are going to want us in on one of those. And what the future brings, I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know. But I know we need to be making preparations now while we can, because when it hits the fan, then it's too late. Your ammo, you need to buy it now. Clean water, the ability to get clean water, you need to buy that now. Food, it's more important than the ammo, I'm sad to admit. How long can the people in your home eat without power and without a grocery store? With just the food you have in your home, how long can you eat? Every person in your home should be able to eat for 3 months. Almost nobody has 3 months worth of non-perishable food. My Patriot Supply has a kit prepped and ready for you. They're $200 off at preparewithjessekelly.com. 3 month emergency food kits. Go get one for everyone who lives in your home. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Chris, I didn't say I don't fix anything around the house. I fix things all the time around the house. I was just in Ace Hardware the other day. And there was a doorknob. The screw got stripped. I fix things around the house all the time. You don't understand. Me and electrical work, we have a history, okay? Me and electrical work don't always work well together. So when it's any kind of wiring and things, look, one time, I thought I had turned a breaker off that I had not turned off the correct breaker, and it was a shocking experience, if you will. What, Chris? I understand there are non-contact voltage testers. Yes, Chris, I do. In fact, I have used one before. I understand they have them. You don't seem to understand something, Chris. I don't want to do electrical work. And this is me, the guy who encourages young men to go into electrical work because it's an amazing trade and you can make a fortune. I'm actually trying to get my oldest to go into that field. I appreciate electrical work. I am just, I don't know whether I'm too stupid. That's probably it. Maybe too irresponsible. I don't do it well. In electrical work, it's not like pounding nails. If I screw up pounding nails, I have a sore thumb or a skinned knuckle. If I screw up on electrical work, then my kids get the life insurance money. It's a completely different ballgame, so I don't do it. If I have to start splicing wires and crap like that, that is not my area. Plus, I don't have delicate hands. I just don't do very well with it. Chris, your dainty hands probably can't. It's not because they're small either. It's because they're too big, you idiots. Anyway, can't stand these guys. I want to talk about something else. You want to make fun of Tim Walz? Here he was back in 2017.
And I try and do this. I try and do this for my own sanity, and I try and do it because I think it's the right thing to do. Putting ourselves literally in the other people's shoes and wondering why.
I'm going to let that literally go because I realize we have to go back and talk about Ben Stiller. I just wanted to see if I could get a rise out of you. All right, Ben Stiller. Think about this way of thinking.
And she's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And
that's incredibly exciting, he said. Why? Wouldn't you love... Now, granted, communists don't argue. They just change the subject or name call. But wouldn't you love to tie these people down? No, please don't go tie down anybody. But wouldn't you love to strap these people into a chair and force them to answer just a few basic questions? I would love to pick their brain. Why is it exciting? Because she's a woman. What about that excites you? She's taking over the most important job on the planet, and you're excited because she's a woman? What a completely twisted and bizarre way of thinking. But what I wanted to say, what I wanted to show you is how deeply ingrained the most insane, nonsensical things can become in people with enough repetition. You watch things enough times. You listen to things enough times. You repeat, you chant things enough times. You can get the most insane, despicable, illogical things to become really part of your mind, part of your soul, part of your mindset. Look, we were actually talking about Obama a minute ago. Let's go back and talk about that. I understand America's racial history. I get all that. We've never shied away from discussing that here. I'm totally fine with all of it. I'll speak about anything. It doesn't matter to me. But you understand if you vote for somebody because they're black, you know that's a really stinging indictment of you. You realize that? It's probably not even your fault. The influences of your life and whatnot have been so woven into you that now you do things that make no sense whatsoever, and to you they make sense. It would never occur to me to vote for somebody because they were a man or a woman or they were white or they were black or they were this or that. It would never occur to me because you're assigning value to that which itself has no value. The color of your skin has no value. We're all just different shades. It doesn't mean anything at all. But if you find yourself assigning the highest value to it, I want this guy to be president because he's black. I want Dome to be president because she's a woman. You have some really, really gross things woven into you, and you need to work on those things. But back to what we were talking about, they become a reality to people. And that's part of why they do the chanting. You know, the chanting you see at every protest. Oh, no, we won't go. And all the stupid other things they're always saying. They're constantly chanting. If you ever go to one of these dirty commie riots, you'll find it's constant chanting. The crowd's into it. Everyone is encouraged to do it. Why? It sounds stupid, and it is stupid, but it weaves and ingrains these things into people's minds and soul, and you can make things that are wrong become right in your minds. Wow. Hey, Jesse, he says, designer dogster. I'm not a designer dogger. I'm a 27-year-old man. It was raised Christian conservative. Mine and my father's views align with yours pretty strongly, except for one issue. I don't care about Israel. Older Americans, yes, that includes you. You're old. It's not very nice. All feel very strongly about this and that Israel is our greatest ally. When my generation sees the rot and pestilence infesting our country, it becomes hard for me to care about anything outside of fixing America. What are your thoughts on this? Obviously, I hate that people are dying, but I feel we need to fix our own issues before we keep dumping money and resources overseas. Okay, well, none of that was ridiculous or unreasonable at all. In fact, I don't know that you have my views on this pegged quite clearly. So I'm going to lay out for you my views on America and Israel and the conflict and history. I'll lay it all out for you very frankly. I'm sure I'll offend everyone here in just a moment. Before I do that, do you want to be able to do your own carpentry work at home? You need testosterone for that. Do you want hands that are huge like this? You can't, you can't have huge hands without testosterone. I actually don't think that's scientific at all, but either way, you should go get a male vitality stack from Chalk because testosterone levels are dropping. They're dropping fast. And especially as we get older, although this is affecting young guys now, fellas, we're losing it. We're losing our T levels, therefore we're losing our ability to think logically, we're losing our energy, we're losing our vitality. These are not things that should be gone by 40, 50, 60 years old. How many of these testimonials do I have to read you? This stuff is amazing. Natural herbal supplements, and they have female vitality stacks too, ladies. Look, the American customer service team, dudes and dimes, they're standing by to help you. Walk you through everything they have. See if they have something that's just right for you. Call them. Text them. 50CHOK. That's C-H-O-Q. 50CHOK3000. 50CHOK3000. Let's talk about Israel. Next.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.